Bring the meeting to order, please. Can I get a roll call?
Kurt Olstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Doherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway. Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich.
Here.
Michael T. Fenn.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here. Can you please read the Open Public Meetings Act statements?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item up is approval of minutes. Can I get a motion, please?
Move.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Stay.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fank.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is the chairman's report. The only item I have for this evening is the appointment of the checklist committee that we discussed at the last meeting. I have asked and they have accepted Mr. T. Fank, Richko, Dressler, Bowden, as well as myself. I'd like to thank you all for volunteering and turning in the time. So we do need to get caught up on some items, so the director's asked me to let you know that we're going to try to get a meeting scheduled rather soon. That's the only thing I have. Any other council members have anything?
Chairman, I would appreciate being on that committee, so if you could rethink that, please.
Noted. Any other council members? Seeing none. We'll move into the committee reports. We have the audit committee. Mr. Walton is going to have you. Doherty down here thinking you're
over. So I've been able to make it.
Mr. Walton is here.
Yes, my apologies. We'll be leaving early tonight. Kern County's firefighters are graduating this evening. And as a volunteer firefighter and director of the board, I want to be there much more than here. Mr. Fiske, you said many times. The appointed agency auditor of the Arcadian PCCBA completed an audit of the Highlands Council's directly administered funds for the year ending fiscal year ending June 30th, 2012, which was began July 1st, 2011. They completed an audit dated June 11, 2013, which is the Highlands Council's administered funds for years 2012 and 2011. Those reports were conducted in accordance with accepted accounting standards. Some of these federal audits contained the government auditing standard issued by the Comptroller General of the United States. Nothing was found significant or unusual transactions or significant accounting policies that were controversial. Basically, we have the clean bill of health. So the audit committee conference call was held on July 2nd, 2013-01. I held a conference call as the committee chair with Jillian Murphy, CPA, of Arcadian PC, prior to July 2nd, as required by the audit. So therefore, I, as audit committee chairman, recommend that the council that we adopt and approve the audit reports for both fiscal years 2012 and 2011. Does anyone have any questions?
Any council members have any questions? If that's the case, I would like to skip over the executive director's report and move the resolution for acceptance of the audit. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fenn.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. I thank the audit committee for the work they've done as well as the staff.
Yes. Just one comment. Those who have to deal with audits every year, very rarely do you see an audit that doesn't have recommendations. So my hats off to the director, executive director, assistant, and staff. No recommendations to this budget. This audit is usually something rare, so it's a very clean audit. My hats off to the staff.
Thank you, Mayor. Next item up is the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The busy agenda tonight, so I'm going to try to make my report as brief as possible. In accordance with my commitment to you on the Resolution 2013-11, which authorized the Executive Director delegated authority, we had three actions this month dealing with planning conformance, and three actions dealing with planning conformance, and the report of those specifics is in your packet. Our outreach continues with 8 municipal meetings, 3 agency meetings, 1 conference, 2 site visits, and 7 constituent meetings for a total of 21 meetings, which is maintaining an average of 28 meetings a year to date, or 21 meetings attended, no average. Constituent assistance, we've had 22 calls this month, with an average of 28 calls since the beginning of the year for constituents seeking help or questions from council staff. We have news on our staff updates. We have begun interviewing for our cartographer GIS specialist. Those interviews will continue for the next couple of weeks. And we'll begin interviewing for our resource management specialist. The return of resumes has been quite good, and we think we'll be able to select candidates from that pool. The very good news is that our other GIS specialist, Nathan McLean, has added someone to the official Highlands family. So I'll pass that around. That is Regan McLean, 6 pounds, 10 ounces, Mom Taryn, and Dad Nathan are doing fine. Within our professional activities, Carrie Benscoder and Carl Figueredo continues to attend core working group meetings, the statewide Habitat Connectivity Project, which is sponsored and organized by NJDEP. Casey Aziski continues to attend the Morris County Resource for Administration of Private Septic Technical Advisory Committee, and Jim Hunselman continues to attend monthly Water Supply Advisory Council meetings. Within the area of plan conformance, I mentioned to you that we are earlier continuing to accept and review the components and modules necessary for plan conformance. And now with the appointment of the committee by Chairman Riley, we will convene and review the applicability of checklist versus land use ordinance. At this point, we have 15 petitions in staff review, so that in August and September, we would hope to start feeding them out again for review by the entire council, of course, subject to those that are going to be reviewed by the special subcommittee. We have 2 requests for proposals that are now closed, and we have received them. We are going to begin the review. We have begun the review of those. Hopefully, by the August meeting, we will have more information on those for you. The one is the functional ecosystem valuation model as far as conservation guidance, and the other is the fiscal and local impact of TDRs and TDR receiving zones. Both of those we will have a report to you, we would hope, by the August meeting, but definitely by September. That concludes my official report. I want to go into a couple of presentations we wish to make. One is that we have an item, Mr. Chairman, of extending a temporary budget for this year. So if you want to pick that up later now, it's certainly your discretion. We've presented a temporary budget. Our budget, as you know, expires on the end of June. No need a budget to continue operating for the next quarter. This is a budget that is just a pro rata number from last year's budget, and will continue to authorize us to draw down funds to pay our salaries and pay the rent.
That is the next item on the agenda, so why don't we move right into that. Consideration of resolution, approval to extend the fiscal year budget 2013 at the same average monthly spending level as last year. We have a motion?
A second.
And a second. At this point in time, I'd like to open it up to the public. If anybody in the public wishes to speak, please raise your hand, and you'll be given 3 minutes.
Anybody in the public? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council members? Comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Savatich?
Yes.
Councilmember T-Pain?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton? Chairman Riley?
Yes. Mr. Bob?
Thank you. The first presentation we have this evening is on our GIS system and website, but specifically to offer you a deeper view of transparency and the progress that goes into a planning conformance petition. The opportunity here is to show you in great detail what we do with our website, how we track every single application that comes in, and how we ultimately get to the point of planning conformance. That's part one. The other one we want to show you are the layers and the interactivity of our website so that you can fully see how we can pull up any particular property in the Highlands and that anyone can do. This is fully open to the public and fully usable by the public, and look at any lot, block, and look at either the constraints or the opportunities of that particular property. So this is the type of thing that is best done by seeing it. I would ask that you hold questions until we're done, because this is not a live presentation. Our internet capability in this building is very, very slow, because everything we do goes from Trenton and comes back. So the speed would keep us here probably till 9 or 10 o'clock at night for a 10-minute presentation. So any questions you have, we just ask that you wait. And I would like to introduce Chris Dennis, our Director of Planning and Science, and Carl Figueredo, our supervisor of GIS, who will give you the oversight and overview of this program. And once you see it, I think you'll want to go home and start looking at your own lot and others' lots. And it's a great tool that we've developed, and I think it's unique to the Highlands.
Thank you, Director Filon. Good evening, yes, council members. Thanks. We'll promise to make this short and sweet, and we'll keep it moving. As Director Filon indicated, this is a brief overview of our interactive mapping and our plan conformance materials. And this is really to help you sort of understand how you would navigate our website and give you some helpful hints about where you would want to go specifically if you're looking for something regarding plan conformance, or if you're looking for something regarding a block and lot that you own or are interested in, or just general information. So Carl will take you through the interactive mapping that supports our understanding and sharing with stakeholders regarding such things as the planning and preservation area boundaries. It also identifies the Highlands resources by parcel and lots. And we also have the estimator tool for the Highlands Development Credit allocation and downloads of geospatial files. So all of our GIS data is available for download with full metadata. We also, on the plan conformance side, have plan conformance tracking information, which tells the story of the documents that are being prepared in support of a petition, and also the implementation of those documents by the local municipalities post-petition approval. This is an overview of what we're going to talk about. Carl will take you through the interactive mapping tools and information. And then this is your quick and dirty, sort of quickest route to plan conformance petition materials. I'm looking for something specific about a town or county. This is your best place to go on our website. If you're looking for tracking information about plan conformance, this plan conformance page is the best place to go for that. And this is what we'll use tonight to take you through this. And Carl will take you through a pre-recorded video, sort of, that we've developed of our tools.
Thank you, Chris. Good evening, council members. So, as Chris said, I'm going to take you through a short video, so if you could turn your attention up to the screen, which will go through our interactive mapping applications, which employ GIS here, as well as the area where you can download information, or anyone from the public can do so. So, again, here's our website, like we had shown before. So there are three applications that we use. The first is the Highlands Interactive Map. The second is the consistency review application. And the third is the Highlands Development Credit Estimator tool. The fourth component is simply the download page where you can download GIS data, or any member of the public or any private sector person can download the information. So to start off, we'll click on the Highlands Interactive Map link from the main website, which will bring you to an introductory page here, which explains the information along with some legalese that I'm asking you to click agree to. Once you do that, it'll bring you to the Highlands Interactive Map. So this is built off of Google technology, Google the internet company, similar to Google Maps. So it allows you to pan around, to zoom in, or out, and contains the information that you would normally get on any online mapping website. So to the left, there's a series of tabs. One of them is called Search. So this is where someone can go and find their parcel. There's two ways to do it. You can use the drop-down menu and pick your town, and then type in your block or lot. Or if you don't know that information, you can just put in your address. So that's what we're doing here, using this building as the example. So I'm typing in 100 North Road, Chester, New Jersey. I click the search button, and then next thing you know, the map zooms to where I am. So what I can do here is pan around, zoom. It allows me also to turn on satellite imagery if you want to look at an aerial photo to really hone in on where your building might be. So what the video is doing here now is it's searching for our building, so zooming right in. So that's where we are currently. Then what someone can do is just click right on that building, and then over on the left, there are some basic information, such as the block, the lot, the address, the municipality you're in, the owner, acres, sort of just basic information. Now that you've found your property, you can go into these other tabs, which have all sorts of different Highlands resources. As a point, and I'm going to flip over back to the map view here. So if I click on the administration tab, here's where I can start to get some of the basic information about what the Highlands Act means to my property. So I'm going to click on the planning and preservation area, so I can quickly figure out whether I'm in the planning or preservation area based on the way the symbols and the legend correspond to what shows up on the map. So based on this example, we're in the planning area. Another item in there is the land use capability zone map. Again, based on the colors listed in the legend, I can correspond that with the colors on the map and figure out what zone I'm in. One other piece in here that's relevant to a lot of people is whether or not they are within a town that has an approved plan conformance petition. So if I click that on, so I can see in the video that we are within a municipality that has an approved plan conformance petition. So in addition to those types of administrative layers, we also have all of our resource layers. For example, forest resources. So in there, you know, we can see our forest area. We have open waters, riparian zones, topographic information, habitat, and then also some cadastral information like open space and whatnot. For example, here I'm looking at the water quality tab. I turned on wellhead protection areas. I can see that I'm within a wellhead protection area. So this allows somebody to really hone in on their parcel and see, interactively see, where all the layers are that relate to their property. So we're going back to the main page here, and we're launching the second application, which is the consistency review application. And now this application is very similar to the previous one in how you find your parcel, but what it allows you to do is to create a report, which gives you a succinct document which highlights all the Highlands resources that relate to your property. So on the video here, I'm doing the same thing, typing in my address. I'm going to hit the search bar, find my parcel. Click on my parcel. I'm talking a little faster than the video. So once you've clicked on your parcel, now if you look over on the left, there's a checkbox next to every single Highlands resource that is found on that property. This is an incredibly powerful tool because it gives anyone who's using the internet an ability to quickly find out that information. And it covers pretty much every single Highlands resource layer that we map and use. So I'm just highlighting some of the different ones. We have open waters, lake management areas, land preservation, water availability. It's pretty much all of the different components that that we speak to here. So once you've identified that parcel, you can hit the tab at the bottom that says Create Report, and you can type in a name for your report or whatever you'd like to call it. For example, I'm calling it Highlands Council Office Building or Consistency Report. So you name your report, click the Create button, and then a report is generated. Now, these reports are what the Highlands Council staff uses as part of their project reviews and their consistency determinations. In addition, it also informs the municipal plan conformance petition. So this report keeps every individual layer in a different section and shows you a map of it and highlights the relevant parts of the regional master plan that relate to that resource. So this is a pretty empowering document here to sort of let you know what this all means to you. So here's an example of the different areas within the report. Now the third piece is the Highlands Development Credit Estimator Tool. Now what this does is it identifies the range of potential Highlands Development Credits associated with a residential property based on pre-act environmental constraints and zoning and state regulations. And as with all the applications, this information is non-binding and it's for informational purposes only. This is really just to help you figure out if there might be a potential here. So same way, find my property, then I click on the parcel, gives me some basic information, and then at the end of that table, there's a field that says Highlands Estimated, Highlands Development Credit Estimated Range. In this particular case, the building we're at right now, it says not applicable. This is not a residential parcel. In fact, it's part of, it's on the municipal open space registry, so the Highlands Development Credit doesn't actually apply to this parcel. But just for the purposes of demonstration, I'm going to create a report, hit create, and then the resulting report is the parcel that you're on, some basic information about it. It highlights what the pre-Highlands Act environmental constraints would have been on the map, and then it also gives you some text and information about what the program is for coming in for a Highlands Development Credit allocation. And so we'll jump back to the main page of our Highlands website for the final component of our GIS information, where you can click on the GIS data downloads. Now, in this section of the website is every single piece of data that we use here that anybody can download 24 hours a day, private, public sector, constituents, citizens, anyone. They're all chopped up by sort of topics. So we have administrative layers, natural resource layers, historic cultural layers, and so on and so forth. Here you can download the actual GIS data, find the relevant metadata, and the date as to when it was released. So this is the final component of our GIS information on the web, and now I'm going to turn it back to Chris. It's going to tell you a little more about the website and where to find documents referring to plan performance.
Thanks, Paul. So now I'm going to quickly go over the plan conformance petition and tracking information. Again, we're going back to where we started. Carl just took you through here. As I indicated, here's the quickest route, the plan conformance documents by county, and then the overall tracking information. So we'll start here. It opens up to what this looks like on our website. The petitions in counties that do not have an underline in this case have not submitted a petition to the Highlands Council. So right now there are 60 underlines on this page, as well as the county's information. And you would then click on any one of these towns. It would bring you to the page embedded in the plan conformance page that would give a document of record on this web page of what are the approved petition documents, those documents that the town worked on as they were preparing to come to you for a petition approval at a public hearing, and then the local adopted documents, implementation documents, those documents that are adopted by the municipality once they are approved for the petition and implementing plan conformance through their own regulations under the municipal land use law. We also have older draft versions. So this is a whole record of information for this town. And these blue highlights tell you the status of each of these documents as you move through. And for example, I just want to say that everything is here and you can look at it and go through it. This is an ERI for Highbridge. So I just want to take you through it because it has every map on it is here. It's here for every petition. It's posted as they come in and as things are updated and we work with the town. Here's forest resources. All of the information that Carl just showed you in those interactive maps and those GIS data layers, the total forest area, the forest subwatersheds, are all here for the whole municipality as part of its petition. And this is the ERI that was adopted in Highbridge with open waters, riparian areas. Available for you to print or examine watershed values as we go down. Critical wildlife habitat. There's a whole series of maps. Our petition presentation at one time included a bit more maps than what we currently show now, but please know that they're all there and all evaluated as part of the petition and are always available to view on our website or ask questions about with liaisons as we move forward, and I'll tell you who those liaisons are. So you can see there's a series of maps that are all there, public community water systems, domestic sewage systems, highways, and transportation. So this is the page that we're on there. That's that quick and dirty. We're coming back here. Now you want to say, okay, has this town adopted a petition? Where are they in the process? And when was that petition approved? Questions like that can easily be answered from tapping here. This is opening up to a page on our webpage, the plan conformance page. We sort of mask the other information just so for convenience to highlight it. But number five, the municipal and county plan conformance tracking, that's where our tracking sheets are. Everything that I just showed you on the previous page with that quick link is also here as well. So again, this is what the web would look like when you clicked on it, 1 to 5, masking the other things. There's the petition tracking sheet. As I said, as you're coming into the council and preparing for a public hearing, a record of those procedures. And then as you're implementing plan conformance documents at the local level with the implementation tracking. So let's look here. This is quite a busy page, but I really wanted to take the time today just to take you through the headers that are on this page, things that you're looking for. Ms. Patty in County, who's the liaison. This lists every municipality that has submitted a petition has a staff that's identified as their liaison. This is one of the best ways to find out and speak directly with a council staff member about what's going on in that town. The plan conformance petition, when it was submitted, deemed complete, its most recent completeness item, when it was posted to the website, the date that there was an update, that's factual information that was provided to the Highlands Council that would update the map. This parcel is preserved, you missed it. This one's connected to sewer, you missed it. Draft consistency review and recommendation report that's sent to the municipality or county as a result of working with us. The county or municipality then prepares a municipal response document to verify all that information, decide if these are the funding programs and current planning documents that reflect their policies and RMP. Then we have the final consistency report posted to the website. We're moving into a public hearing, a public comment period, and then the final report is posted to the website. They come to you fabulous people for a public hearing, and there's their petition. And then there's the date of the action on that, and then our petition disposition, approved, denied, or the conditions, and then the website link for all the files, which would take you back to that same website, the place that I just took you back. We keep looping back, but we have several links on the front page to get you in. And sometimes it's easier just to go in where you exactly want to be. So in summary, Carl is taking you through the interactive mapping tools that are available to anyone. They can help answer questions or concerns from stakeholders or other people who are interested in learning about what plan conformance means. Our resource mapping helps stakeholders also understand what it means to their property or a plan conformance petition. And those petition materials are available at any time. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Very well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Carl. I think our objective here, too, is to show you that the detail and amount of effort that goes into planning conformance goes into all the decisions that are made, particularly for consistency determinations, and the bank of details that are maintained within our GIS department. Really, nothing is left to chance. Every detail is covered. And anytime you want to look at it, or any member of the public wishes to look at, it's all there. You just look it up, and the question will be answered. it's our intention to roll out more of this information to you as we develop it. We'll add layers, we'll tell you so that you can look at that new layer. It is a constantly evolving, organic process, our GIS, and I think our staff, in the form of Carl and Nathan, do an extraordinary job of maintaining this data. We are the envy of other counties and other agencies. In fact, one or two very large state agencies often come to us for a look at our system. So thank you for the great work you do on that. And I encourage everyone to take a walk through it and see exactly what's happening there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Well done. Does that conclude your report?
We'll have an introduction of our next presentation, which will be an item for you to
reference.
I'd like to introduce, I don't know how to introduce, Margaret Nurser, who you all know, who will introduce the folks from Sussex County, talking about a grant program for agritourism, ecotourism, economic development. As you know, one of the RMP charges is to develop agritourism and ecotourism, and to use that as a complementary tool to the Highlands Act, to land acquisition, easement acquisition, and to encourage the development of programs that enhance those areas. So with that, I'm going to ask Margaret to take over, introduce the folks who have come here tonight from Sussex County, to say a little bit about this program.
As a Sussex County freeholder, I'm going to recuse myself from this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a member of the Sussex County Planning Board,
I was in Sussex once.
I went to the air show.
Only kidding, I've been in Sussex.
Well, representing Sussex County tonight, we have Eric Snyder, who's the planning director, and Donna Traylor, who's the agricultural resource specialist. So if you'd come up to the table here and take a seat and make yourself comfortable, I will attempt to put the board in the Sussex County frame of mind. So, you know, Sussex County is requesting $200,000 to embark upon a Highlands-wide model for economic development based on the successes of their previous grant initiatives. Previous Sussex County has received both agritourism and niche marketing grants, which produced enhanced visibility for agricultural enterprises in the Highlands region. Specifically, grant funding assisted with marketing brochures and advertising for the annual Sussex County Fall Festival. With regards to niche marketing, the county developed a training forum in support of value-added product management, which allowed farmers to more easily bottle, label, and distribute products developed from Highlands Farms. The current application takes the next logical step and provides an analysis of the regional economy and the role played by agriculture in general and agritourism and ecotourism in particular. This research will build on successes from the earlier grant program to provide a broader picture of the dynamics of the region's economy in order to better make strategic decisions in Highlands tourism deployment. The information gleaned from these analyses will enable the county to develop a comprehensive marketing strategy and companion web-based program that will highlight ag and eco destinations in Sussex County. This can be used as a model, and I hope it will, for the other six counties in the Highland region, so that the information collected can be added to a Master Highlands database, which the public and visitors to our region would be able to use for future planning visits. So before I turn it over to Eric and Donna, I just wanted to refresh your memory, since our Sussex guys have left the room, about some of the attributes of Sussex County. And I will say that Sussex County has really been the poster child for successful and innovative grant management in the Highlands. I can't begin to tell you how much that grieves me as a former Morris County freeholder, but they're getting it done and moving things forward. So, Eric and Donna, I turn it over to you.
Welcome to the Highlands Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Council members, like to tell you how much we appreciate the opportunity to be here and the opportunity to continue to work with you and the staff. As has been said, we have a fairly good history with Highlands projects, beginning back in, I guess, 2005, 2006, and continuing to date. What we're hoping to do tonight is to continue that effort. I'd like also to point out, since you were kind enough to introduce the Sussex County folks, that we have Tammy Wartsfield, who is the president of the County Chamber of Commerce, is also here. It's an important element in our proposal because this is a cooperative effort, not just with us and the Highlands Council, but also with the Chamber of Commerce. With that, I'd like to ask Donna Traylor to begin a quick discussion related to the beginning of this presentation, and then I'll finish up at the end. And in keeping with your stated wishes, we will make this short and sweet.
Thank you, Eric. If we could go to the next slide, please. That just gives you a little bit of background on the county, how large it is, and a lot of protected open spaces up in Sussex County. As Eric mentioned, we did start working with the Highlands back in 2006, and in 2007, we were awarded our first sustainable agriculture grant that was for development of an agritourism project. And that we basically used, we hired a consultant, advanced group, to do a research project to identify the types of agritourism, what the farmers were doing in Sussex County and throughout the Highlands, you know, what was important to them, what kind of marketing had to be done to make them successful. You know, we have in New Jersey a very important preservation program for agriculture, but we can't preserve every acre, so we have to find other ways to keep agriculture in our garden state and to keep those farmers viable. So in the first sustainable ag project, our consultant identified, came out with a lot of messages, first of which, you know, identifying the value of the agritourism products, the value of the agritourism experience, the value that agritourism has to our community, and the connection between the farmer and the public, and, you know, identifying, you know, where your local food is coming from and how important that is to keep our northern New Jersey, you know, green the way, you know, the way it is, the way we like it. So that was our first project with the Highlands, and that morphed into our second agritourism project, which was, now that we've identified what's important in agritourism and, you know, how we should outreach to the community, we had to start marketing it. Now, we were lucky enough in Sussex County to have a product, our Four Seasons of Agriculture brochure, which hopefully many of you have seen over the 18 years that it's been around, and our agritourism website. But what the Highlands allowed us to do was continue to market these products and to really increase the marketing to bring people into this entire region. And that also generated a new project, which was our Harvest Festival. This is our fourth year of conducting this festival. Our host location is the Sussex County Fairgrounds, and it is now grown so much that it is a harvest and honey and garlic festival. Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 12th this year. The Highlands allowed us to, again, increase our agritourism approach in the whole northern New Jersey area. We can go to the next slide. Okay, our second project with the Highlands was our commercial kitchen project. Way back when, Sussex County farmers, you know, came to our office and basically said, well, you know, it's great that we, you know, have our farm stands and our farmers markets, but, you know, we have product and, you know, sometimes you have a second, something that, you know, you can't just sell to, you know, outright the way it is, and we want to develop value-added products that would also extend our season and that would produce more revenue for farms in northern New Jersey. But the problem in northern New Jersey is that you have to have a special type of kitchen, a certified commercial kitchen, to legally produce these value-added products. And I'm talking about jams, jellies, salsas, anything like that. So the Highlands grant allowed us to work with partners, namely Rutgers Extension Office and the Sussex County Technical School, and bring these three entities together to allow us to utilize the commercial kitchen at the technical school on off hours. Rutgers did a lot of background research to find out what kind of certifications farmers needed to be able to produce these legal these products, these value-added products legally. So our first commercial kitchen grant through the Highlands allowed us to do the research and purchase some equipment and also get some the farmers certified through a Better Process School, which was a 16-hour, two-day course to allow them to do certain product. Our second commercial kitchen grant, and now our extension of that, has gotten the farmers back into the kitchen at the technical school. They are developing new product. They're getting their recipe certified, which you have to have done to, again, sell these products. We're educating them. We've done Better Process School a second time. We've got, had over three dozen farmers go through and be certified in that educational element. We've purchased a number of pieces of equipment, including a pH meter, pH meter, a piston filler to allow the farmers to fill jars a lot quicker, software to provide the nutritional aspect that has to be on every jar. And we have farmers now that are partnering. You know, somebody may not have everything needed to produce a salsa, so we've got several farmers that get together now and make, again, you know, their product go further and increase their viability. I'd just like to mention three farms. Upper Meadows Farms went into the kitchen the first year, did a lot of baked goods. You know, they had certain products, fruits and vegetables, that they put into baked goods. And they used the kitchen for 24 hours and produced these to sell at different farmers markets. We had Flower Creek Farm that produced 3,000 half pints in one season and 150 pints, with a gross estimated income of $16,000, again, thanks to the commercial kitchen. And then our premier commercial kitchen person, next slide, please, which was Liberty Farms, which got in there. It was a combination of several farmers getting together, and they produced two new products. They've actually trademarked their Jersey Devil Salsa, which is a great product, and garlic jelly. And they got in there the first year. They did 233 jars of garlic jelly, and this is done before we got the piston filler, so they were doing this by hand. It's a pretty slow process. And then 709 jars of salsa for a total combined potential value of over $6,000. And then the next phase, they got in there and did more garlic jelly, over $1,800 in garlic jelly. And then they produced over 1,500 jars of salsa because, again, of this project. They were able to, you know, get a certified recipe, develop this, get in there, and that salsa the last year was over $9,400 worth of potential value. So these are really, really important things that are happening for the farmers in northern New Jersey. And these are things that can easily be duplicated. Next slide. So, we'd like to, at this point, with our grant proposal, build on these past successes, and in addition to continuing with what we've done in agritourism, we are going to embrace our ecotourism and our heritage tourism element, some of which Sussex County has already been doing, working both our office and in conjunction with the chamber office. We have 35% of our landmass in Sussex County, that's public open space, and this grant would allow us to do a number of different things to help market that open space and that agriculture and that heritage tourism. So just a brief summary, this grant has four elements. It would allow us to do economic benefit analysis for both agri and ecotourism. We have been working with Rutgers Extension Office, Brian Schilling, and NASS, National Agriculture Statistics Service. We hope they will be able to come on as a consultant to do some very extensive studies for the county to better understand the actual dollar amounts that agritourism brings into our county. The next element of this proposed program would be an interactive website that would be done both in conjunction with what we have through our GIS and what the Chamber of Commerce already has, and to make it very interactive so that you'd be able to go to it and basically say, okay, I want to take half a day, drive 20 miles, and pick a pumpkin, pick apples, take a hayride, and it will start giving you choices. And then I want to have dinner and see a show in the evening and go to a state park, go geocaching. It'll be able to map all these different things out. As I mentioned, we have several brochures already. This grant would allow us to update our Four Seasons of Ag brochure, do some more work in ecotourism brochures, perhaps develop a geocaching ecotourism trail, which would be very innovative and unique for New Jersey. And also, we would be doing a lot of marketing once we have these products updated. So, as you can see, it would be a very important step forward and something that would be easily duplicated in other counties once we, you know, go through this process and have the template established.
The biggest deal about this whole program is that it's exportable. This, you know, we're using Sussex County as the template, but all of these things can be replicated in the other counties, because we understand that this is a multi-county effort. This is not an attempt on our part to sort of pretend that there's a border here that really makes all that much difference. You all know that the economy in New Jersey is changing. In the Highlands Plan itself, ecotourism and agritourism are highlighted as activities that are considered to be appropriate, particularly in our part of the world. We've decided that it makes a great deal of sense to join with the Chamber and do our best to assist in realizing that vision, and at the same time shore up Sussex County's economic base, because it's all changing. To be very frank with you, we don't know everything we'd like to know about the economic system that we depend on. Part of this study is going to tell us some of those things, and I am reasonably sure that some of my colleagues, certainly in Morris and Hunterdon counties, will be looking for this kind of information, because we routinely get together and talk between the four counties, at any rate, Hunterdon, Morris, Warren, and us, to see how we can coordinate our activities and who's doing what and what we can learn from each other. This is a new model, and I think it's a model that's really important for not just the Highlands region, but New Jersey's future. And with that, it's something that we bring the business community in, along with government, and I think we've come up with a very good product of which you'll be proud, and which will be actually implementable on the ground.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Prior to going into discussion, it's probably best if we get the resolution. Consideration of resolution, approval of agritourism, ecotourism, economic development grant to Sussex County. We have a motion.
I'll second that.
And a second. At this point, I'll open it up for discussion. Normally, I would start with the public, but I know somebody has to leave in a few minutes, so I'll start with Mr. Ball.
Thank you very much for your courtesy, Jim. And I do have some concern about this. I don't dispute the merit of the project. What's important to your county? I just don't believe that we are authorized by the law to do it. Originally, the resolution cited Section 18B. Council shall make available grants or other financial technical assistance to municipalities and counties for revision of their master plans, development regulations, or other regulations, decide to bring those plans or development regulations or other regulations into conformance. This part of the statute is a state mandate, state pay blank. The state mandates you do something, as this act does, and if all the towns in the Highlands region comply, then the state must pay for it. So here, it not just says we can, but you know, we are to pay for these grants. Nowhere there is the same thing doing on development or other very well worded out projects. It's explicitly for compliance with the regulations and rules, not for furtherance of the goals or other laudable things that we may like to do. We're not allowed to do it by law. Now, I know the resolution was changed to cite 6G. To enter into any and all agreements or contracts, execute any and all instruments, and to do or perform any and all acts necessary, convenient, or desirable for the purpose of the council, or to carry out any power, duty, responsibility expressly given to the act. I don't see where the act, you know, expressly given, the authority to to give money out for those for this function. So I hope my own county does something like this. I hope you're successful in making the model for us, Leonard and Paul. But this council can't pay for it. So I'm going to be voting no. If I'm not here voting up, I know my ask will be a no vote. I just don't think this is a authorized by the law.
Mr. Chair, we want to do everything that complies with the Act and the RFP.
Can't really hear this problem.
I'm sorry. Obviously, Mr. Chairman, it's our intent to do everything that complies with the Act and the RFP, and we have researched this very carefully. I'm going to ask General Counsel Davis to comment on Member Walton's remarks. And I do want to mention one thing, Rob, that thank you for calling this to our attention earlier this week, and I think it helped us better understand what our scope of responsibility is.
Thank you. We have looked through the Act, the resolution that does reflect 6G, this section that Councilmember Walton just reflected, and we've reviewed this carefully internally and are very comfortable with the fact that there's ample authorization in the statute under 6G as well as in the master plan to go forward with this type of program. These grant programs have been around for a while. That doesn't make them right or legitimate, but we're absolutely confident that under 6G it's absolutely permissible to do. Not only that, I took the extra step of consulting with the Deputy Attorney General's office, one of whom deputies to my right, and he's in concurrence as well. So it's not only my personal opinion, but we vetted this through the Attorney General's office, and we're very comfortable moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, can we get the opinion of the Deputy Attorney General? Oh, I'm sorry.
As Council Davis mentioned, question was raised with us, and we concur. The statute refers to not only the preservation of the natural resources, but also to economic development and sustainability, and clearly agritourism and ecotourism help to sustain that, and to the extent that they preserve farms as viable resources. Economic entities, it supports the goals and objectives of the Highlands Act.
So you believe as a Deputy Attorney General that we have the authorization under the provisions of the Act to pass this resolution and grant this grant?
Yes. The question is really a policy call, as Councilmember Moore.
The authorization is there.
The authority is there, yes.
Thank you. Any other council member comments?
Yeah, what's garlic jelly?
Delicious.
It's sweet like jelly. It tastes like garlic. I'm just curious.
I want to introduce John Eskelson, who is the county administrator for the County of Sussex, who just came in.
Welcome. At this point, I'll come back to the council members if they wish to say anything else. I'll open it up to the public for comment. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope. I'm against this resolution. As I recall, the original grant early on to Sussex County, which went to upgrading their commercial kitchen at their technical school, was $45,000. And I just heard a whole bunch of words like successful. I heard gross numbers. Gross numbers don't mean anything. You're going to have a high gross and lose money. So I have not heard any quantitative analysis of how this $45,000 was a success. I think it's just more good money after bad. It's just more pie in the sky. I know two people that since the Act and were harmed by the Act have died. So perhaps you should set aside some money to buy them flowers. I think it would be a more productive use of money than taking their word for their program of being a success when I've heard nothing to make that point. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
in reading over most of the agricultural documents, Pat Moffitt from PPAC, there's a basic question, is what's the market size of this? There's no one that's really looked at, is agricultural survivable in New Jersey? We've locked the farmers in this region into agritourism, ecotourism. What's the size of that market? I mean, Mr. Alstead does a great job with this. Could there be five down the road from him, all of them surviving? I think that's the first question you've got to ask. One of the architects was Dr. Richard Lathrop. And Lathrop had this vision of a working rural landscape for the Highlands. And then in that vision, the abandoned dairy farms could become equestrian rings for wealthy urban dwellers that would come out on the weekend. And the people of the Highlands could be retrained to raise free-range chickens and artisanal cheeses. There's just so many people that you can have playing the American Gothic. I think the first thing you've got to do is look at the hard reality of numbers. Half of the farms in the Highlands grow hay. That hay goes to construction. There isn't any other construction. The number one reason for farm loss in the region is not development. It's abandonment. It seems that we're playing around this basic fact that we don't want to address. You've got to look at the hard numbers, and I don't see it being done. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Ed Wingren, New Jersey Farm Bureau. We actually think this application and grant proposal is a great idea. We've worked a long time with Sussex County and their agriculture and their marketing and promotion of ag in the region, going back to their Skylands mapping and marketing even before the Highlands Act came about. They have a good track record. The opportunities for our farmers that have been realized within the commercial kitchen up north, it mirrors a program Rutgers has done with a commercial kitchen down in the southern counties of the state. It offers those farmers opportunity, and it gives people who are landowners and farmers places to go if they are looking at changing what they do in their agricultural operation. We do have an agricultural land base here. That's part of, I believe, what the study is also going to do is look at the agricultural resources and then whether there are opportunities in marketing. I know they've worked with farmers on not just doing corn mazes, but they've had a sunflower maze and a different type of promotion. The bears tend to like the sunflowers a little bit more than the corn mazes. And so they're problematic dealing with nature and doing some of those projects. But that's it. It's that sharing of the ideas and then sharing that information across counties. We think there is a benefit to the whole region in doing this, and we'd like your support. And, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post. I own and operate a farm, Ryanmead Farm, in Chester Township. I own and operate what I believe was the first pick-your-own farm in New Jersey. My mother opened our orchards to the general public back in the early 1970s, long before the word agritourism was coined. For over two decades, the ag community referred to her as that crazy woman who, heaven forbid, lets people in her fields. Today, I'd say that my mother pioneered a viable ag business model. I have not changed my mother's operations. That prologue for the purpose of qualifying me as an agritourist expert. That agritourism is a solution or panacea to the horrendous loss of beneficial use in the Highlands lands is another great big fat lie. I am so tired of listening to bureaucrats and consultants who know nothing about farming tell farmers how to run their business. For example, the proliferation of farmer markets, often because towns get green credits for doing so, has resulted in an oversupply of farmer markets, with inadequate farmers now spread too thin, going to five markets a week, and no longer turning a profit. Good consultants there. Printing brochures, cooking pies, and promoting festivals is not the job of this council. The $200,000 being spent on such silliness would be far better spent on a few TDRs. But of course, landowner compensation is nowhere on anybody's radar.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, I also agree with the last speaker. I'm against this money being spent. I don't believe it's your authority to be spending this money on this. I think your first thing at hand is compensating landowners. I say it every time I come here. Apparently no one listens. But we somehow have $200,000 that a town can do on their own. This woman here, her mother started this business all on her own. And it's about time people get out there and start doing some stuff on their own instead of taking money out of my pocket. They took my land, and now they want to spend money on other things that have no business here. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't see your hand. Did you sneak it up late, woman?
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I have seen the Sussex County Donna Trailers work for the last 20 years, supporting the and publicizing the farms in Sussex County and the places, the agritourism, things that people can do, and I think that they've done a great job with this, and clearly it's becoming more sophisticated. I think that when you look at those numbers about what's been produced, it's clearly a grassroots from the bottoms up effort. And I think that there's a lot to be said for that. We're having a lot of problems with corporate agriculture these days. And I think encouraging this kind of agriculture, which may even be organic in some cases, and I hope that it is. But I think that there are a lot of people who want to try to change the way the economy works from being corporate and top-down and automatons in a corporate enterprise and change it into grassroots, smaller operations that are making go of it. And I think that this effort will help that. So I do support it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Andy Drysdale, Chester Township. Our land was taken nearly 10 years ago. Our rights were taken, and we were told that we would be paid according to 2004 property land values. This has not happened, and I'm very unhappy about this, and something should be done about it. I hope you give it some thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
My name is Mary Van Loo, and I'm from Warren County. In the past, you have already given Sussex County money for grants, and now you propose to give them another $200,000 for more of the agritourism, the ecotourism. I know my municipality, 80% of our land is in the Highlands. I'm talking about the preservation area. Impacts on a lot of farmers, impacts on a lot of property owners, and you have all this money to be giving these grants for these, like, oh, this is so nice, agritourism. I'd like to know, like, for example, my husband and I have a tree farm. I'd like to know how we can do that in a kitchen. I think that you should really take a look at starting to fund, like you promised, the people who have been impacted by the loss of their land. Not only have we, of course we're still doing the, farming our land, but you took away from us the right that we could have if we needed to, not that we would, sell off a lot in the front of our house, which we always thought that was a nice little cushion just in case. But the Highlands took that away from us. And I think you really, really need to look at where you're spending your money. You know, $200,000 for fluff, whereas there are a lot of people that have been impacted by the fact that, you know, we are preserving our water by preserving all this land. I really think you need to look at that. Grants are nice. I like grants, but I think maybe this is not the time to be doing it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Erica Van Alken, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to offer a quick statement of support for this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Bob Fink. I'm from Washington Township. I had a little bit of difficulty hearing Mr. Walton's concerns, but I would like it if the Deputy Attorney General could repeat what you believe his concerns are, make sure Mr. Walton agrees, explain why those concerns are not valid, and then I'd also like to know if he's convinced.
Well, actually, it's not whether he has to convince Mr. Walton or not, it's the entire council.
I understand that.
It's an opinion given by the Attorney General's office, which has been made, and it's clear and it's on the record.
What I don't know is whether he even understands the concern Mr. Walton's made and has addressed it properly.
Sure.
That's all I wanted to know.
I've had lengthy conversations with our chief counsel. They understand my concerns. I disagree with them. I disagree with them.
That answers my question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. At this point in time, I'll go back to council members for discussion.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Chairman, I've got a number of questions that I'd like to ask you. So, how many years has the commercial kitchen been in operation?
Performers that came into it in 08, but it was a very short season. And since 08, there's been two seasons that the technical school is renovating, so we were not able to use it.
In the years that it's been in operation, have any of the farmers been able to connect with food chains, supermarket chains, to produce, and do they have contracts with them?
I don't know right now, but I know last year, the Jersey Devil's Salsa, I believe, is working with food.
And if the grant were not given tonight, the commercial kitchens would still stay in operation?
Because the grant has been providing the funding to pay for the staff, the school staff that has to be there while the farmers are utilizing the facility. For the farmers to go in and pay those fees in these circumstances and develop the, get the certified recipes from Cornell and do any of the coursework, it probably would not make it economically viable to make.
So the first grant is basically running out?
The first grant, we only used $5,700 of the $15,000. That was back in 07, 08. So we're, the second grant is able to utilize in its entirety, and we have an extension of that now that we're just, that we haven't started using yet. Because again, last year we had an issue with the kitchen being open at the park season.
Yep. Any other council members?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say I was an enthusiastic supporter in the beginning of the commercial kitchen and believe that the niche market is really important. A lot of farms, family farms, are sustained by catering to the niche market. And we do have that market here. We have the metropolitan areas between New York and Philadelphia, and that is where the money is. And so I think it is great to keep this commercial kitchen going and help these family farms stay productive. And I accept the opinions of Mr. Weil and Mr. Davis, and those are consistent with the opinions that were given by council to the Highlands Council when we first and second approved these grants.
Thank you. The other council members? Seeing none, I'll close the question.
Do we have the ability to direct these grant funds to anything else? In other words,
so for this grant,
no,
please, this grant has been defined in the grant proposal of what amounts are going to be spent on each component.
Understood.
Before that component is executed, we have approval right on that specific component, and we also have the right to approve the delivered product as part of that component.
What I'm asking is the funds that would be used to fund the grant if it were approved. Could we, as a council, take those funds and direct them to the TDR bank? Or are they legislatively put in place strictly for grants?
Isn't there a grant budget?
I'll
defer to council. That's where the money comes from.
You put it there.
There's
additional money in that budget.
This is in the grant budget from Resolution 2012-28 that this council approved October 18th, 2012. But it's council's discretion to reallocate funds in there as it wishes. So it is budgeted, but there is authority to readjust the budget. It's at your discretion.
How much money did we budget for grants?
$750,000.
And what have we used to date this fiscal year? That was for one fiscal year?
Yeah, this is the first grant coming out of that grant period, if I remember correctly. We are also working with Warren County to develop an economic development grant for them. That's not ready for you guys yet, but it's in the pipeline.
And this fiscal year ends September 30th, correct?
No, the fiscal year ended June 30th, but we have permission from Treasury to carry these funds over.
What did we use last year?
I don't think we used anything for counties. I think this is the first one.
What, last year's budget? Out of the 750 that
we didn't expend anything for county.
The budget that was approved as part of that had $15,000 encumbered and $210,000 available to Sussex County for four grant programs. This represents two of those four grant programs.
I'm not sure I understood that. How much was left over?
We didn't spend anything on other counties out of the budget. Out of the $750,000, that's what I'm asking.
This year?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
And that money was encumbered last year and then rolled this year, so this would be the first deduction from that amount.
So what you got left over is basically, I would guess, $500,000.
Any further discussions on this resolution?
Chairman, a few years back, and I believe the grant was $15,000, and I think someone mentioned that we spent $5,700 or something like that. And now we're talking $200,000. I see the disparity, I guess, is if you had the grant of $15,000, I guess my question, why don't you spend it?
The first grant that we received for the commercial kitchen, we had to do, it was a one-year grant, and most of that 1 year was spent doing the research because nobody had ever done something like this. We had to rely on Rutgers to do an extensive research to see what the farmers needed credential-wise to be able to do these type of products. So, actually, the state of New Jersey produced a brochure, a how-to brochure from that. From that effort, but again, it was a timing issue that we didn't get the farmers in. I mean, they have a certain season that they're producing vegetables and fruits to be able to produce these value-added products, and by the time we got the grant, the research was done, the season was done, so the farmers didn't have the ability to get into the kitchen right then. That's why the balance of that grant wasn't used, but subsequent to that, we were able to use the grants in their entirety. When it started, when we got the award last September, the middle of last September, it was toward the tail end of growing season when people that needed to get in the kitchen and the hours available, it didn't work. So I've got farmers lined up now ready to get in the kitchen.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, what was it? I think the most persuasive argument I heard tonight was from Mr. Moffitt when he talked about the market and determining what a market is here. I don't think that's been done, and I'm concerned about what the potential sales are for an industry like this.
If I might address that directly.
Absolutely.
A large piece of the study is specifically designed to do exactly what it was.
Okay. And can you tell me, can you give me some numbers?
Okay, we're looking to use to utilize for an economic benefits analysis for agritourism and then one for ecotourism approximately $35,000 each, because that would have to go out to outside consultants to do that type of analysis, which again has never been done on a county level. There is an agritourism study that was done 8 years ago.
Maybe you should come back up here on the
microphone. Eric, you can come too.
Okay, the two studies that are proposed are for approximately $35,000 each, one for the ecotourism, one for the agritourism. To the best of my knowledge, I have not seen in talking to some of the environmental consultants so to date that there has been any type of study done on a countywide basis for ecotourism as far as arriving at the economic benefits. And the only study that was done for agritourism was done, again, by Brian Schilling and Rutgers. That's about 8 years old. That was done for the state in its entirety. So to break it down into something more manageable, whether a region or a county, this would be something very innovative. And I think the data that you're looking for will be the product of these studies.
Now, let me ask you a question. Can this grant be done in stages where, say, $70,000 is given for these two studies? If these two studies prove that there's a market there, you come in for the rest. If not,
probably. I mean, we envision doing, starting with these studies, and then, potentially at the same time looking at, the interactive website.
Yeah, as Mr. Missioli said, we've gone from a $15,000 grant to a $200,000 grant, substantial money. At least I'm not satisfied that there's a market there. I think if you broke the grant down to $70,000 for those two studies, come back to the council and say, look, we've done the studies, now there is a market, this is the market. Now we've got hard, fast data, and then we can go forward from there.
But I'd like to suggest at this point in time, I see where this is going, and number of members up here to get an affirmative vote at this point in time can be very tough because I think it comes from different backgrounds. But maybe best at this point in time is carry this to the next meeting as opposed to maybe having this get voted down because of the dollars now.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. What will that do to, you still have money to carry you through to September, is that correct?
Well, yeah, we're talking about two different things here. Yes, we do. We have the money for the commercial kitchen project. That is a separate grant. This is a new sustainable agriculture grant with a whole different mission.
Okay. So in terms of your present activities, waiting is not going to impact you negatively?
It will not impact the commercial kitchen project.
Thank you.
So at this point in time, we can carry this to the next meeting. Do we need that by motion? Can I get a motion to carry this?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Have a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you all.
What we'd like to do is, hopefully you got some direction out of that. There's some concerns, but what I've heard is some concerns about the dollar amount, specifically how it's being spent. Mr. Dressler brought up a very good point of staging, phasing it.
Well, I sort of heard the council suggest, and maybe you could confirm it for us so we have direction on what we should do this upcoming month, is to perhaps bifurcate the application so that the first tests are the economic analysis
and upon completion of it, those tests and a successful result in terms of determining market, then they move on to the next phase. Is that what we're talking about?
I think that's part of what I'm hearing. I've heard several different things, some of the general concern about the dollar amount as well. So maybe seeing that broken down into segments can help answer some of those questions. If there's any other specific questions anybody has, put them on the table now or contact the director to get those.
They have said that there would be an impact, negative impact on the present program that they're working with. And I'd like to know whether or not you would be able to respond to that.
No one can hear you.
She said that there wouldn't be any negative impact on the current program. I'd like to just clarify that whether or not it's not updating this grant process is going to create any kind of market points. Navigating the food industry, I don't know how many farmers beyond those three are involved. You said there's a number of farmers that are online.
This is a completely separate effort. The commercial kitchen effort is more of a reaction to a demand at the small farmer level for some means by which they can take products that they've been growing and use them more effectively, sell them to a wider audience.
Okay, that's a small part of this.
This thing here has to do with three basic big pieces. First, a market analysis. Second, a GIS website, much akin to what you've been talking about here, where information is then made available to the larger public in order to come up and facilitate enjoying the agri-tourism resources that we have. One of the biggest things that we've seen to date is that if you make it difficult or if you fragment the search experience, people give up, say, it's too much to bother, I'm going to go somewhere else. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to come up with a way to streamline your ability to come up and say, look, I want to come pick peppers, I want to have dinner, and I want to go rock climbing. The program that we're talking about developing will facilitate your being able to do all of those things, give you a route of travel and what have you, enable you to make the reservations as necessary and go off from there. All right? And finally, we have the marketing effort, of which the GIS is a piece, to sell this whole thing on a much larger scale. And so that's where the number comes from. And that's why
the deputy director is going to put that together for us.
So my concern was simply that it's not about 15,000 versus 200,000. It's apples and oranges here. We're talking about something that takes this commercial kitchen effort, among many other things, and carries it to the much larger community.
Mr. Jacobs?
Does Sussex County have a website for the county? None of this information is on your county website?
There's one important thing. The answer to the question is we lose the chamber.
Potentially, I'm sorry, John Eskel, Sussex County Administrator. There's a huge negative impact. This effort is collaboration.
Can we have him
come up for the record?
Before we go there, Mr. James had a question.
Well, let him get it out because we've had public comment, but they have questions for you. So
well, the question was, is there a negative impact for delay? And I would suggest there's a huge negative impact. I have with me Tammy Horsfield, the president of Sussex County Chamber of Commerce. A huge part of this effort is collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce, who happens to be updating their website as we speak. We are leveraging their reach to bring agritourism to the Chamber, to a vast, an enormous market. And they need to move on this. They can't delay any longer on updating their website. And a month is going to cost us, and if we lose that partnership, we may not want to proceed on this. It's really that simple.
Yeah, to be upfront with you, a couple of things. First of all, the Sussex County Chamber of Commerce is designated by the state of New Jersey through the New Jersey Division of Travel and Tourism to be the destination marketing organization. We're what's called one of the New Jersey DMOs. We're certified, we're accredited, we've been through the Destination Marketing Association International Accreditation, and we are the primary place for people go for tourism in Sussex County. It is our website that is the actual site that provides the information for tourists that come to the area that want to know what to do, everything from ecotourism to agritourism to recreational tourism. We have invested over the last 5.5 years over $600,000 in tourism dollars promoting Sussex County's agritourism, ecotourism, and recreational tourism.
So you already have this, is what you're saying?
No. We have a website in place that is going to provide a next step. The next step is to provide geographic information, so the visitor has a one-stop place to go where they can find at their fingertips where the farms are, what kind of pick-your-owns there are, where to stay when they're there, what else there is to do.
What does your website have on it now?
It provides general information by category. It does not provide...
So this do is you an list farms that you have in Sussex County on
right
your site?
Right now? No.
It just says you have farms? I mean,
right.
I know that without...
Some of our farms, we have a handful of farms. We do not have... This will allow us to have all farms, all eco and agritourism posted on the site, and people can go in and they can find everything they need in a snap.
Two-dimensional versus three-dimensional. What we're talking about is a three-dimensional
very
marketing.
Different.
Three-dimensional, so if you click on, you can open up an actual description of farm, what they have. You can search by type of product you want to take.
So this
you
is search really to on keywords grant that is to enhance your website.
It will enhance the site to visitors. We're a shell.
In a collaborative partnership.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm sorry for my ignorance.
It's a much bigger picture than just a listing on
the website.
You're
designated by the state of New Jersey, and they give you how much money to do this?
The state of New Jersey provides grants annually, and we go before them, and we have to provide a 25% match. But they are for specific reasons. They're not for the website, okay? They are for travel shows. I go to travel shows at least 6 or 7 a year. Those travel shows provide me an opportunity to promote the resources that are available in tourism, okay? They also provide us for advertising. So all of what we're doing on here, on the site, will allow us to promote it through additional dollars, so we're partnering in regards to that and expanding the opportunity to advertise the publications that are out there, the website and the enhancements that allow visitors to come there. None of that is part of that grant. Okay, the research that is needed to understand and get the return on investment when people come, to understand what they want and what they need when they come for a visit and why they're coming here. And so it'll allow us to expand all of that, which we aren't able to do now.
What I'd like to point out here is the Highlands Council works in a specific way. Mm-hmm. And for anything to pass this board, it needs 8 affirmative votes.
Yes.
There's 10 people here right now.
Understood.
I've heard some serious questions by more than 2 members. Mm-hmm. That would probably bring a negative vote. And it might be just because of a lack of information. Mm-hmm. And I think the public brought up some good concerns. And I don't think anybody's downplaying the program itself. Mm-hmm. Mr. Walton, who said he was outwardly against it, was from a financial standpoint, not about the project itself. So we're going to move forward. It's not going to move forward tonight. We've already moved to carry this. And hopefully we'll have enough information. And by time the next meeting, board members will be either more assured or have a process that we're comfortable with the dollar amount, whether it's $200,000 or something short thereof. There won't be more, I can promise you.
When is that next meeting?
Next meeting.
I mean, I'm on my web people are, my tech people are on hold. And that's why I'm asking, because I'm in a situation where I had to fly. Sorry, John.
Mr. Chair, we certainly defer to your knowledge of the operation and working with council.
Yeah, August 15th. Thank you.
It was put on the record, and unfortunately, Donna was not briefed on it. It's not her fault. Was there any negative impact? And there is a potential negative impact. So we needed to get that on the record. But we'll certainly defer to your knowledge of the inner workings of the council.
Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. Can I just have one more question? What part of that $200,000 goes to you for what you need?
For the chamber?
Yeah.
It's going to be going through the county. It's really,
the budget on the GIS.
This is why we're asking questions.
It's a lot of money. The application.
Yeah.
And which part of it is that section? Because you're saying there's going to be some negative impact. This will never happen if you don't do it tonight.
Website design allocation is $60,000. The marketing program is $30,000. Brochure update, development design, printing, and distribution,
$40,000. So let's stop at this point. We have some information. Staff is aware. Additional information we need. And apologize for having you up here and not taking action tonight, but we'll take action one way or another at the next meeting. Thank you very much for
thank
your time
you.
And information.
Thanks.
Chair,
yes, sir. Did we have a vote on that table then?
Yes. I did it all day.
At this point in time, a couple of members have asked for 5 minutes. So if you just take 5 minutes, we'll come back.
Bring the meeting back to order, please.
Yes.
We welcome our friends from Sussex County back to the board. Just so council members are aware, I'm going to open up to the public now, and then we have an executive session, at which point we'll probably take action after that on that particular item. So,
Chairman Riley?
Yes, ma'am.
I was waiting for Mr. Files' report to be complete. I had a couple questions about it.
I thought it was complete. Where's the
question? You asked him right before this item if it was complete yet, and he said he wanted to give the introduction to this item, which he just completed. So.
Is it something that can wait until after the public portion?
Yeah. Okay. Just as long as I get to ask the question.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Please don't let me forget. I'm sure you won't.
I won't.
At this point in time, we're going to open the general public session. Please raise your hand and be recognized. Come up. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. We appreciate you trying to stay within that time frame. At this point in time, does anybody have any questions for the council? Comments? Yes, sir. Sit back. Which one?
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Peter Desch. I am a councilman at the Hampton Borough for the past 7 years. I'm fairly familiar with what you're about to discuss. I don't really have too much to say to you other than I do hope you vote in our favor. I do have one question. Given it's an executive session and it is Hampton Borough is part of the subject, may I sit in and listen?
You may not. It is a settlement, first of all. Second of all, anybody that has any questions about that particular application, you're obviously more than free to speak during the general open public session, but we will, if we take action, have a public session specifically for that settlement.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I just had a quick question regarding the executive session. Are you planning on reconvening after that? Or?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard, just in general? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion.
Is this the general?
This is general public session.
Pat Moffitt, PPAC. Through an open request, I found out that there is no scientific code of conduct for the council, no data handling procedures, no sign-off procedures. I brought up in the past to the council, especially now with the Enforcement Enhancement Act, is a $50,000 fine for anyone willfully, recklessly, negligently making a false statement for omitting a material fact, plus prison, potential prison. The question I've asked this council now for almost 5 months, is there any responsibility or accountability on the people who make the laws? We are forced to comply based on signs. There's no sign laws. I've asked a simple yes or no. Do you have any accountability at all? Can you make false statements with impunity? And I can't get a straight answer. Simultaneously with learning this, the other Oprah request was found out there's no support for any of the major fact and claims supporting the Highlands Act. There's no studies, there's no models, there's no analysis. It was interesting that just the reason this council is here tonight was basically there was allegedly a North Jersey District Water Supply Commission report that said water costs would go up $30 billion if we didn't pass the Highlands Act. Well, DEP, who cited this study by name and date in an OPA request in Office of Legislative Services, said it knew nothing about the report. The council wrote a 500-page, two-volume document based on didn't know about it either. Well, I've gotten it now. It's 2 pages. Right. 2 pages that I think was written by summer interns at North Jersey. When I tried to see if there was anything else behind this, I didn't get a message from the document historian. I got it from the senior partner of the law firm representing North Jersey. Documents have also been uncovered that this council put together a sustainable forestry report for the express purpose to ensure public trust. The report was thrown out, scrubbed from the website. The public was never let know that it happened. I listened to Mr. File before talk about the habitat. This committee of PhD ecologists and professional foresters said of the program, it ignores fundamental science. Said of the council's land management, deeply flawed, unscientific, inappropriate for New Jersey. But the public never knew that because it got thrown out. And I've been asking now for a couple of months, why? Why was it thrown out? Why was it hidden? If you go, if you start looking, your website says the Highlands lost 17,000 acres between 1995 and 2000. That 17,000 acre figure is the net of New York and New Jersey. New Jersey grew by 10%. Right? All the losses are in New York, but on your website it says we lost 17,000 acres. It says the Highlands produces the water for 64% of the people from 13% of the land area.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Moffitt.
Will we get an answer? Yes or no about... It's five months now.
I've heard of legal, but everything that we did, if you're talking about the act, that's not his fault.
No, I want to know whether or not that's what the accountability is.
As of right now, to the best of my knowledge, we are trying to get a hold of anything that you've requested.
No, I mean... Besides what I've requested, what is the accountability for state employees? Do they have an obligation to make full disclosure? And is there any prohibition for making false statements? That should be a yes or no.
Yeah, well, that's not a question I've given.
Well, it's been 5 months now.
Mr. Moffitt, you're talking about the statements that were made in the past with regard to the creation of the act.
No. Most of the restrictions from the Act come from the regulations that were written by state employees that were allegedly based on scientific fact. Right? Many claims were made that we now find are totally unsupported. I want to know whether there's any accountability given the gravity of this issue and what can happen to the public forced to comply by making a mistake.
For the state employees.
Can state employees, are they held to any standard when making these laws? It should be a simple yes or no question.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, the Attorney General should be able to refuse that. I believe he's answered. Mr. Davis, would you like to comment?
Well, we have responded to open requests from Mr. Moffitt in a way that at the request, we did the research, and we believe that we responded appropriately. With respect to just answering general questions on conduct of general employees, that was in the OPA request, but that's really not something that we had any documents that we could produce, and we indicated as such. But there is correspondence in the past also that referred to state code of conduct, professional licensing requirements of various professionals. And, of course, the statutes are what they are, so I'm not sure what more we can do to answer that question.
That's not the answer. Because I've talked to the Ethics Commission. They said it does not apply.
Would anybody else
in the Ethics Commission?
Thank you, Mr. Moffitt. Would anybody else in public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is David Chope, and tonight I'm going to submit to you, Mr. Riley, a letter which I will read. It's a short one. purpose of this letter is, one, make Patrick Moffitt's July 10th, 2013 letter to you and the March 28th, 2006 report titled Report of Sustainable Forestry Technical Advisory Committee to the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council, part of the public record. These are to be attached and to be part of the meeting's minutes to be submitted to the governor's office for his approval or veto. Two, call for a council resolution authorizing an investigation of these issues raised by the above submissions as well as other issues raised and ignored in the past. This investigation is to be paid for by the Highlands Council but conducted by a consortium of the most affected counties. I suggest Hunterdon, Warren, and Sussex. By law, counties have subpoena power and have all the necessary, all that is necessary to conduct such an investigation. You'll be getting that. Here is the technical report that was taken out back and shot in 2006. I've reviewed all the data from the 2006 Highlands Council. They're in a box back there. I can find no mention of it. Gone. Part of the submission tonight will be a reply by the Highlands Council to Mr. Danielson, an OPA request. And some of the things he asked for is exactly what Pat Moffitt was asking for as well. What are the standards of accountability that state employees are held to? I think this is it. If the answer is none, everyone needs to hear it loud and clear so we know what kind of government we are being governed by. And if there is standards, I want to hear them, as does Mr. Moffitt. Just as an aside, I started a business well over 20 years ago. The first money I spent was $1,700 for a demographic study. That's what I did. A year ago, June, we furnished to you a copy of the OLS response to Senator Orho concerning this North Jersey District Water Supply Commission report that everyone said didn't exist. I wonder how it feels to be sitting on a house of cards. I just really do. So let me submit this stuff to you. Deal with it as you see fit.
To pass it over to Annette, and that way you can scan them in for the closer. That would be the easiest way. Please. Okay, for your comments, if you pass those to Ms. Annette, she will get those to us. Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand.
Deborah Post, Chester Township. The efforts in Trenton to pass legislation for open space funding continue. Not one of the many bills and efforts proposed so far include an extension of the dual appraisal sundown date for Highlands appraisals when constitutional monies are utilized. I wrote this council a letter regarding this issue back in January, yet this council has been silent. If any new open space funding were to pass without an extension of the dual appraisal provision, the Highlands will be de facto carved out of participation in any of that funding. A council resolution recommending that any open space funding address the Highlands appraisal dilemma might actually be heard in Trenton and cost you not one penny. No grant resolutions required. Your silence is hard, cold proof that this council does not care if funding is ever available to compensate harmed Highlands landowners of their $6 billion loss in property value. Last year, there was some chatter at council meetings about addressing landowner funding. So you sent a staff member out for a few futile chats with a few municipal officials that were always destined to go nowhere. Everyone knew that, but good for keeping up appearances, good for a bit of press coverage,
good to pretend that landowner compensation is of interest to this council when it clearly is not. It is my personal opinion that the direction to this council from Trenton and the governor's office is to simply do nothing, while making sure there is a superficial impression to the contrary for the occasional press benefit. Low profile, no action, and for heaven's sake, keep those landowners shut up. Apparently, this council is good at taking these orders.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public works here? Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Piacon. I was quite disturbed to read Mr. Moffitt's letter. I hope everyone on the council has. I would hope, if you expect to have the public trust and the integrity this council is supposed to try to keep, that there would be some effort to do some type of investigation about this information. How you all can sit up there and not be concerned with this would be very surprising. I would hope there's action taken very soon, and maybe even tonight in the executive session. Something should be done. There needs to be clarification of all this information. There's things that were said, or supposedly said, that were true, that we're finding out may not be. And you're sitting up there acting, making regulation, and telling people what they can do and can't do, but we don't even know if it's true or not. I think that's the first thing on the list. Compensation doesn't seem to be there anymore. Also, I'm against any grants until people are paid. These counties can spend their own money if they want to see if something's going to work, like I had to do whenever I tried to do something. Since when does Sussex County get my money? I've never heard of such nonsense. It's about time this council gets their act together and start really finding out what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Andy Drysdale, Chester Township. I just would like to ask you to please get this information that you've heard here to the people in the legislature and to the governor, which you have the power to do. And please do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Hello again. I'm Bob Fink from Washington Township. I've got a concern that I've been dealing with for a while. I'm not quite sure how to address it, so I'm coming to the council for some guidance here. I was part of the Environmental Commission in Washington Township since about 2002. I believe I've missed one meeting up till about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I became part of the Township Committee, and so I'm no longer on the Environmental Commission, but I still continue to attend all of the meetings. I've also been on the Land Use Board, and about a year ago, the Township Committee, it was suggested that we put out the bid to Highlands Conformance. So we did that. We put it out to bid instead of having our planner and our engineer do it. We put it out to bid. We had several bids come in, all for the amount of the available funding, and then one significantly lower. So we chose a low bid. The bids came in, we voted, I voted in favor of it. So shortly thereafter, maybe a month or so after that, I received a phone call from somebody who wished to remain anonymous, and indicated that they believed there was a conflict of interest with the firm that has won this bid. I also received an email from somebody spelling out the conflict of interest. I shared the information with the Land Use Board. It was moved into executive session, so I can't talk about what's gone on there. I also can't talk about what's going on in executive session with the Township Committee. But needless to say, the firm is still in place, and we have that issue where there is at least potentially a conflict of interest. And I want to make sure that, for the public record, I don't want to be part of problem hiding this, if it is in fact a problem. And I'd like some advice about how to get an answer as to whether or not it is in fact a conflict of interest.
That's something your attorney should be able to ask and answer for you. That's an issue locally. It has nothing to do with this board.
I'm hoping that I can get some advice from an outside attorney.
I don't think it's appropriate for our attorney to give you advice on a municipal issue. I understand.
Even though it's impacting Highlands Conformance.
It's not.
It is.
It's impacting your town.
It's impacting your town. It's not impacting your conformance.
It's a local issue.
You have an option. You can go to your county prosecutor's office and have a chat with the county prosecutor if you think there's something that's not being done correctly. That would be, I would think, unless the attorney might back that up. That's what the first place that I go if you think there's a conflict. And your attorney may be the one who's in conflict. So you may just want to go to the prosecutor's office and have a chat with them. Yeah, unfortunately, we can't offer up. That's not our role, nor something we should do. It's offer a legal opinion. So I apologize for that. It's not impacting your conformance here with the Highlands Council. It's not impacting at this time your conformance problems.
Planner who's controlling the conformance. We've hired a planner to manage that conformance.
Yeah.
It's directly.
We haven't gotten after you as a municipality.
After us?
We haven't gotten after you because you haven't conformed yet. So if you haven't conformed, it's something you have to deal with on your side. It has no bearing on us.
Conformance is a big issue. It's probably the most important decision this township is going to make. And if we choose to conform in the planning area, I want to make sure it's done right.
So if you're saying something is not legal, or you think there's a problem legally, I think the chairman's right. Go to your prosecutor. I've gone to mine four times as a freeholder. Four. So anything I suspect, that's where I go.
And as long as it's legal, that's okay then. If it's legal.
It's not us to give that opinion.
How would we know? And it's not our responsibility. You got a town, it's your responsibility. You got a town attorney?
Of course.
That's what you should be talking to, or the prosecutor.
He's well aware.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand.
I'm Robert Fry. I'm from Rainbow Hatcom Township. So I've been coming to the Highlands Council meetings off and on for the last 9 years. I'm 9 years older now. All this talk about helping the farmer, this is the first time I ever heard any discussion about spending $200,000. It always passed. And I've come to the conclusion pretty early on that the Highlands Council, the whole Highlands setup, was based on shady politics, and that the council doesn't give a shit about landowners' compensation.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Next item up is consideration of resolution to enter into an executive session to discuss potential settlement on a legal dispute with the borough of Hampton, Hunterdon County. Can I get a motion, please?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to ask a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's probably the time to do it rather than...
Yeah, that's fine.
Mr. Kyle, I just had a couple questions on your report. I noticed that there has been only one petition review and one approved municipality in the implementation matrix that you give out since April, and this is July. And I'm just, I brought it up before that I was very concerned that we are not moving ahead in terms of conformance, that there's not new townships coming into the system. And my concern is that now that we have the checklist committee, it sounded as if you were saying there were many municipalities that were going to be using the checklist, and is that holding up these municipalities from coming in for a conformance review?
We have 15 municipalities left that have various components of compliance and of petition in. We will be prepared to take a number of those to the committee that is established by the chair review them for land use ordinance or checklist, and advance them through the the process. On a regular basis, we are receiving implementation modules or implementation tests. They have slowed. In all honesty, of those that are left, they are the more difficult ones. And many of them have a small preservation area, and many of them have no preservation area at all. So we are moving through them. Yes, the checklist land use ordinance has, I think, put an added step in the process. I can't tell you that it's slowed things. I'd be disingenuous if I did. I think we're just at that point where things are maturing. We're waiting for new ones to come in. We're calling them. Our liaisons to each of the municipalities are contacting the towns and asking them where things are. Margaret and I and Chris have been to numerous municipalities in the last couple of months, talking to them about joining the process, and that will bear fruit. But these are the ones that are the more difficult ones that have chosen to either defer or are somewhat slower in getting the implementation test. So no, I'm not. I wouldn't represent the things that slowed or because of checklists or that we have slowed anything. Certainly, intentionally, it's not a process.
So, my concern is that how many have we had this year? How many new ones have we had this year?
I don't know, four, five, maybe. I don't know.
It's a very small handful, maybe three. We had a train that was on track and it was moving, and we were moving forward in the conformance process. And it seems really dead in the water now.
The train was almost to the station, and we got close to the station. There's only a few more.
Yeah, but also it should be some downhill momentum here, because other townships are seeing, municipalities are seeing that the program works, and municipalities are moving through the conformance process. I'm just concerned that since we have a new administration, we just really have not seen any vigorous effort put into moving municipalities through the conformance process. It's slowed to a stop now. And now the report that we heard that there were many that were waiting for the checklist last meeting, and now today confirmed that there are several waiting for the checklist. Now we have to have a meeting of the checklist committee. How long is this all going to take? When are we going to see any energy at all put into the process of conformance?
There's ample energy being put into the process. But as I've said on numerous times before, the process is maturing. And those communities who are the low-hanging fruit, who gain the most benefit, who are most anxious to conform, have done so. Those that are not will take a little bit longer.
We lost COA as a tool that was being used previously to get people in.
I don't think we can, if you want to start dissecting what brought in municipalities is the Highlands Act and then a fantastic RMP. That municipalities flock to, and tremendous work on the project staff.
I don't want to be hit by that herd because it's probably not going to be that long.
Your train's going.
Listen, so I think you hear what I'm saying. I'm very concerned. I think that you came in, your new administration came in. There were many municipalities already in the pipeline due to the work on the part of the staff, and those have worked through the system. And there just seems to be no new activity.
And I can't or won't defend that process. I will tell you that it has matured. There's been no conscious effort to slow the process. We are working on it as diligently as we can. And each liaison is committed to this mission of conformance. However, there are a number of municipalities who are looking to be reassured that the Highlands is appropriate for them. And I say that sincerely, reassured, because some of them have been disenchanted with the process. And that was one of the burdens that we were facing when we started visiting with these towns.
Question asked and answered. Anything else?
Yeah, just I have another question. And I'd just like to point out that several months ago, Mr. Bob, when you said in the newspaper that it's not like the Hotel California, you can leave if you want to.
That's right.
I think that statement was chilling to municipalities to think, well, maybe we shouldn't get into this mess. And that had an effect on municipalities who maybe would have already moved through the process. The other thing I wanted to ask...
Let me respond to that. I think it's chilling when you tell a municipality that they cannot ever recover from conforming or change. I think they have to have that option, as any land use ordinance, to not conform if the act is not performing as they think it should, or conformance is not performing. And we have numerous municipalities that, I think this is a great idea, but if it doesn't work out, what do I do? Well, the answer is, they can pass an ordinance to withdraw. That's the prerogative of the governing body.
Well, when you hold up the land use ordinance and say, who in their right mind would ever go for this at a public meeting, it certainly makes municipalities think twice about going through the system. And I think that
kind
of...
Maybe the fact that we have been factual with all the municipalities we're working with now. We have been honest, sincere, and factual. And if that's chilling to them, so be it.
I see a slowdown in the process. I think the numbers speak for themselves. And I just had another question here about, in your report, under project reviews, number 5, Highlands Planning Area Exemption Determinations. This one was for Centenary College, and it was found to be eligible for Exemption 6.
Correct.
And a question about they were going to be putting in fields and synthetic turf fields and that sort of thing. Did we look at all at the synthetic turf? Because there are quite a few studies out that talk about the negative water quality implications of synthetic turf. And I'd just like to know, what does our staff do in advising regarding water quality implications to Highlands Waters by implementation?
I think synthetic turf is a topic for a whole other night, and we'd have to
do a whole presentation
on it, because the negative effects simply aren't there any longer. We're seeing the results of a number of tests, a number of installations that show it can actually, if it is a pervious surface, can actually enhance.
Well, if you're advocating for synthetic
turf. I'm not advocating for synthetic turf.
I think what we should do is have, I would like to suggest that we have a technical committee convened to look at some of these issues. Because I'm concerned that we are allowing, and even sounds like advocating, turf that could possibly be having negative water quality impacts on Highlands Waters.
And that exemption will be debated.
Should not be decided by an opinion.
I'll take that under advisement.
That'll be taken in the legislature.
That's an item. Next item, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Please.
Over the last several months, and tonight we heard about questionable facts, unverifiable facts that were used in the discussions when the act was passed. I had an opportunity to read a letter, and I think we'll all get a copy of the letter written by Atmoff and Mr. Moffitt. I don't think we're going to do too much change in the act. But after reading his letter and listening to all these comments, I have a lot of questions, a lot of concerns about the issues and the claims being made. I'm assuming that we're going to be provided with a lot of the answers to these questions that have been asked. But in any event, we'll be able to take into consideration all the facts stated in his letter and claims that are made here when we revise and update the regional master plan, which is required once every 6 years. Was passed last time, September 2008, that's coming up, and we'll be looking at that. I'd just like to quote something from the Highlands website, from the Regional Master Plan. It comes from Policy 6G1 from the Regional Master Plan. The Highlands Regional Master Plan authorizes upstates to all substantive components of the Regional Master Plan based on the receipt of new, corrected, or updated factual information and verification. That's what they're bringing to us here. That is, based on the receipt of this information by the Highlands Council, when and where necessary to improve the accuracy of the regional master plan. I think as we move forward, we should take all of these issues into consideration.
I completely agree with you. I believe Mr. Moffitt's also been told that as part of the regional master plan review. But keep in mind, and I'll reiterate, even though you just said it, it's only a reference to the Regional Master Plan, the Act. We can't even do a little.
But
the Act is the Act, and that, you go to the legislature.
My concerns were never with the Act or with the regulation.
Thank you, Mr. Mo. So the Act is the Act. If there is misinformation there, that's not our problem.
But if we find sections of the regional master plan that
correct.
Were based on incorrect, unverifiable, questionable,
that would be taken under advisement and discussed by this body.
Chairman,
yes, sir.
Has there been correspondence from the director's office to Mr.
correspondence as far as, there's been many correspondence as far as these are meant to be.
You just said specifically?
Yeah. I made a general comment to Mr. Moffat, says these are things that we can look into.
There's been no formal writing, or
I'm not sure what's been.
Has Mr. Brecker, have you formally assured Mr. Moffat that there would be certain issues looked at in the regional master plan?
We have answered his requests.
Just the open request.
Yes. The information that he has requested has not been specifically. Well, I'll turn that. I'll let Mr. Davis answer that question. Okay. Because it's a legal question. How to respond to the open request?
My question is if his open request was not answered, did your office assure him in any way that some issues we look at that were not able to?
Yeah, no, we suggested.
Can I get that copy of that?
Sure.
What
yes.
You suggested?
Sure, we suggested that he defer to the master plan, to the RMP process, and that would be an appropriate place to review those concerns.
Did you tell him specific areas or items that would be addressed? That he opened, that he was looking for information? If you didn't, it was in any kind of correspondence, I would like to see that correspondence.
Sure. Just forwarding that. That's the
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
we've already received copies of one.
Yeah, you have.
We have all received a copy.
I thought we did too, but
we have.
It was sent by
all the Oprah.
We can resend.
Oh, No.
Let me suggest you release the hall.
Thank you. I'm not saying what was asked in our Oprah request. I got the Oprah request because I was on the conference call that I specifically asked for all the Oprah requests. What I'm asking. Has the director or the office had any other correspondence with Mr. Moffat on any issue that was not they were not able to answer in the open request? In other words, if some information Mr. Moffat was looking for, and smiling, so if supposing he's asked a specific scientific question and it was not available through open, because a lot of times you can't find the information on open. Did you send him any correspondence that said we'll look at this issue when we take up the regional master plan?
We did.
If you did, I would like to see that correspondence.
Okay.
Yes.
Ms. Francis.
Yeah. Tracy brings up a good point about the effectiveness and the participation of council. And actually, I think that it's a valid concern. But that responsibility is SEC in this room, not the director, to begin with. And when people come here, they pay attention and watch what we do. And they watch us struggle with different concepts, ordinance, checklists. And although a lot of folks don't talk about it, they take that back and they think about that. And so I think that what I'm trying to say is that if it gets too complicated or too expensive, the towns are going to back away and they'll be less willing to come in and throw their hat in the ring. So we're kind of responsible for making sure that they understand the reasons for what we're doing. And so if we hold too high or too strict of a set of criteria, that might be kind of chilling to a town and they might be reluctant to go much further. And so I'm always cautious, and I think we should be careful to watch the image that we project. And so I can't put the onus of what town comply or how many towns comply, because that's a numbers game. And as the population diminishes, it's going to be much more difficult for us to convince towns that they should participate, specifically performing in the planning area. The preservation is a no-brainer. They have to do that. So I think we should be very supportive of our administration and staff here when they're trying to do that. So the buck stops with all of us, not just with Gene File or Moderate or what have you. The buck stops here, there, and here. We have to make sure that we project the right image to make them towns feel welcome, to show that we have the flexibility to understand each town's individuality. And that's important. You can't paint it all with one brush. So basically what I'm saying is the checklist not answer for every town, neither is the ordinance. I think that we have to be a little bit more understanding. And if a town wants to pursue a certain strategy, we should be enabling that and facilitating that.
Thank you, Mr. Francis. Let's move forward with our agenda. The next item up is consideration going to executive session. Mr. Davis, do you have something to read?
Yeah, I'll read the resolution into the record. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6 and following, permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances, and the council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist, and whereas the general nature of the subject to be discussed is potential litigation by the Borough of Hampton concerning legal fees and expenses for which advice from counsel, subject to the attorney-client privileges required, now therefore be it resolved that the council may enter into closed session at its public meeting of July 18, 2013 for that purpose. It is anticipated at this time that the nature of the closed session will be made public upon completion or resolution of the issues to be discussed, except any matter protected by the attorney-client privilege will not be disclosed.
So get a motion, please. Second. We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richbell.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatich.
Yes.
Councilmember T-Pain.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Robert.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to leave the room. Keep in mind, we may very possibly take action after this. There will be a public session in reference to that item only. So you're welcome to wait out in the lobby. Let's try to make it as quickly as possible. But it is the Highlands Council, so I doubt that. Meeting is brought back to order. At this point in time, we have consideration of a resolution. Maybe Mr. Davis can read that for us, please.
Yes, it's four pages. I'm not going to read the whole page, but it's the resolution that was distributed confidentially to council members, which we had just discussed in closed session. But we're going to, at this point, we will make the resolution public, vote on it, and it will be available tomorrow because the draft is in our hands. But the final resolution will be exactly in the form that's been discussed and distributed. Just turn the mic on if anybody else wants to.
You just need to read the paragraph.
Okay, the caption is New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council approval of a settlement agreement with the Borough of Hampton, Hunterdon County. I can read the now, rather than read the 24 whereas clauses, would like me to read the resolved portion. After all the whereas clauses, the resolution reads as follows: now therefore be resolved by the Highlands Council that the executive director or his designee is hereby authorized to enter into a settlement agreement and remunerate the Borough of Hampton in the amount of $30,000 to settle this matter without resort to litigation and as a means to resolve all other claims by and between the Borough of Hampton and the Highlands Council related to the reimbursement of legal fees.
Thank you very much. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this? Falls under the same 3-minute rule. Yes, sir.
I really have not. My name is David Chope, and I really not have been given the background on this. I am presuming it's has to do with promises to Hampton concerning the legal shield made by people that a lot of whom are no longer here. If this is the case, is this what it's all about?
This is to settle potential litigation with. I'll let the attorney answer.
The resolution that the council is voting on is with respect to the way I just described it, and there's three pages of whereas clauses in the resolution that will be public tomorrow, so
okay.
You can see everything that it's about tomorrow.
Okay, but it is essentially about the legal shield. In other words, it
is about a claim by the Borough of Hampton for reimbursement of legal fees under the Act that there was a dispute between the Borough and the
council.
Gotcha. Yes.
Yeah. But you have to understand that you're asking for public comment, and I, as a member of the public, really don't know what you're talking about. I just sort of
hopefully we'll take our time and answer it if you have any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Good for Hampton. I'm glad they got at least a piece of what they feel they were entitled to. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We have a motion and a second. Any further?
No.
I'm sorry.
I thought we did motion.
Can I get a motion on this, please?
That was executive session. We're voting on the motion to move this resolution.
We have a motion and a second. Any further council discussions on this issue? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richmond.
Yes.
Councilmember Savicic.
Yes.
Councilmember Tufan.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. At this point in time, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Move. All in favor?
Aye.